today as we come to the table.
Lord, would I really count you greater than even my own children? Again, you would never abandon your children. That's very obvious, not my point. But I'm talking about putting God first in everything. How many of you, if you saw your child lying in a hospital bed, wouldn't take their place and die for them? And yet God says, your love for me has to be greater than that. Abraham, I want it all. I don't want half-hearted. I don't want part of it. I want full devotion. I want full commitment. I want full fire. I want everything you've got, Abraham. I don't want you to hold anything back. Family, relatives, friends, everything. I've got to come first. And so that's the challenge he gives to Abram, but it's also the challenge that he gives to us as well.
Frequently fail to seek God's guidance. As a result, we make poor decisions and find ourselves in difficult situations. Even when we are serving God, we are frequently distracted by earthly things and deviate from the path that God has set for us. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark explains in today's message how God desires your complete devotion while serving Him. God has a plan for your life that He wants to see through. While the enemy may send you many distractions in the form of friends, earthly desires, or even family members, but you can put all of those distractions aside and make God your top priority, fully committing to His plan for us. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 12. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
There's things in your life that you need to change now, that you need to repent of, that I want you to walk now with me in holiness and turn away from every sin in your life. But I'm not sinning that much, God. I mean, the biggies I've gotten rid of. I mean, most of the big stuff is gone. He says, no, I want all of it. I want you to turn from all of it and be fully and completely and totally committed to me, turned away from that. And then we have the choice to make, all right, Lord, I not only have to lay down my family and my friends, I have to lay down myself. And that's probably the hardest for us to do, is to lay down ourselves. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to die to self daily. Take up your cross and follow. And this is the call that God was giving to Abraham. He's saying, Abraham, you've got to do this. And let me say this, there's a lot of times these situations happen and it doesn't make sense. We're like, God, how could this make sense? Why would you want me now to be alienated from my family? Please let me be clear on this. I am by no means advocating some type of physical separation from unsafe family or whatever, saying we can't see them anymore. I mean, that's cultish. What I'm talking about is there is going to be a separation now in relationship, because now you're going to be walking in light and now they're going to be walking in darkness and they're going to think that you're crazy. Jesus, his own family thought he was crazy. His brothers showed up and they thought he was crazy. They said he was demon-possessed. Now, if Jesus was accused of being demon-possessed because he had a serious walk with God, him being God himself, where does that leave us? Don't be surprised when your family and friends think you've gone off the deep end. No, as a matter of fact, what you've done is you now have light in your life and now you're walking with the Lord. But you might be thinking, you know what, there are things that happen in my life, and Lord, why would you call me to get away from these friends and get away from my family and go to a new place? I don't understand it. Let me say this, God deals with us a lot like a puzzle. And I don't know if many of you are puzzle makers. I don't know if you've ever made puzzles or done that. But if you throw a puzzle down, and I'm not a big puzzle maker, but I have done a few puzzles. If you throw the puzzle down, every piece that's needed to complete the picture is there, but you just can't see it yet. And so God begins to say, you know, we begin to take the border and put the border of the puzzle on, and then we begin to work in and look for things that match in certain colors. And then as it begins to fill in up in one corner, you know, we lay the foundation, we can begin to see, oh, there's a tree and that's a dog and here's the flowers, and it all begins to come together, you know, this kind of thing. Or, you know, for me, it's, you know, it's Cookie Monster and there's the other part of him and that big wooden puzzle thing. I wasn't good at puzzles. But anyway, you begin to put all the pieces together and all that, and suddenly it begins to, now I'm starting to see this thing. God, I realize now why you called me to get away from those things and those influences in my life. Although I felt like I loved them so much, I realized they were pulling me away from you and you had so much more for my life. I'm beginning to see the picture. But then as we walk on with the Lord, after that first initial step of faith, sometimes the picture's confusing, even as all the pieces begin to come together. You know, there's those pieces, those remaining pieces in puzzles sometimes that you're convinced they really don't go with that puzzle. You ever done that? You ever seen that? They don't go. Somebody snuck them in the box. They don't belong there. This is a practical joke from the factory, you know, and they put them in there just to drive you crazy so that you can sit there and go, this doesn't work. And you try to force them, you know, and you kind of get that edge that pushes up, you know, and you go, it doesn't go there. Here's the point. There are times in our life where we have certain pieces. We say, there's no way this could fit into God's plan for me. There's no way. This, God somehow forgot me. Somehow I've gotten out of his plan. Somehow I'm off track. God says, trust me. Every piece is going to fit in my timing. You know what happens is you continue to work with that. Eventually you find one that goes in and then they all begin to fall together, don't they? And God says, you may not understand everything now, but all the pieces of the puzzle will eventually fall into place. And that is God's desire for us. As we take that small step of faith, he now calls us into greater steps. And there are a lot of things we don't understand. A lot of things that, well, quite frankly, we're puzzled about. But the bottom line is the more time we wait on God and see where it fits in, God shows us. And then we can look back and say, I see why you did that. I didn't understand it then. It made no sense to me. You didn't abandon me. You didn't stop loving me. I see what you did, and now it makes sense. And that's exactly how God is going to deal with Abraham, giving him piece by piece and making his life come together a little bit at a time. And so, again, it's important to point out, as we said, that when Abraham started out, this great man of faith, as we know him, he lacked faith. He told him to go, and Abraham didn't. And now we see he had said to Abraham, come on, and he calls him again. I've already said it once, Abraham. I'm saying it again. And some of you heard the call of God on your life, whether you're a believer and you're not doing what God has asked you to do, or whether you're an unbeliever and God is saying you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your sins. You need to turn from it and follow me. And so, you know, and you've lacked faith. And God is saying once again to you, he's saying, you know what? I see your life. I see the sin you're involved in. I see what you need to do to repent and to turn and to come to me. And I'm giving you the call again. I'm giving you that example. Abraham now is getting his call again, and he's going to grow as a man of faith as God continues to work in his life. And so notice he says here, but leave both your family and your relatives and your land. That is, get away from anything that would hinder you. Now, again, how do we know that his family was unbelievers? This was Abraham in the midst of a family of unsaved people. So if you've been there, he knows what you felt like. How do we know that? Joshua 24:2 says this, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, that is in Ur of the Chaldees, and note this, and they served other gods. So now we find out that his family, they were pagan. They weren't believers. We would say today they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They hadn't committed their life to the Lord. And again, they had to leave the land because it was a corrupt society, and he knew that if he stayed in the land as well, he would have all those influences. And the bottom line is this, we have to be serious about our lives and what we're going to remove from our lives and what we're going to do if we're truly going to be able to follow Christ. Understand, following Jesus is more than saying a prayer. It's confessing sin. It's repenting. That means turning from sin. And then it's receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's salvation. That's what the gospel's about, and that's what it takes not only to be saved, but to walk with Jesus Christ. And so God may be giving some of us a call here today. God may be ministering right now to your heart and convicting you. Maybe you put your family above the Lord. Maybe you put your friends above the Lord. Maybe you put finances and things. Listen to what it says in Matthew 10:37. Jesus speaking said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. He's saying, if you love your family more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. He goes on in the verse and says, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love my girls. I love my wife. But the Lord says, if I love them more than him, I'm not worthy of him. That's heavy. And that makes me look at my own heart and say, Lord, where am I? How deeply is my love? Would I really even leave my own family for you, Lord? Would I really do that? Lord, would I really count you greater than even my own children? Again, you would never abandon your children. That's very obvious, not my point. But I'm talking about putting God first in everything. How many of you, if you saw your child lying in a hospital bed, wouldn't take their place and die for them? And yet God says, your love for me has to be greater than that. Abraham, I want it all. I don't want half-hearted. I don't want part of it. I want full devotion. I want full commitment. I want full fire. I want everything you've got, Abraham. I don't want you to hold anything back. Family, relatives, friends, everything. I've got to come first. And so that's the challenge he gives to Abraham, but it's also the challenge that he gives to us as well. And again, it is important to point out here before we go on that Abraham did finally obey. We see that after this verse where God says again to Abraham, get out of there, we see that Abraham did finally obey, but it was only partial obedience because it tells us that he went to Haran. And he stayed in Haran the first time. He was there in Haran. He only partially obeyed. And now God calls him and he goes full steam. We're going to see now he moves on into the promised land. But understand this, guys. As believers, partial obedience is the same as disobedience. We're not to be partially obedient. Lord, I know you said do this and I'll do that, but I'm putting limits on it. He says, no, you need to give me everything. But here's the encouragement for us, because even as Abraham was only partially obedient, God still showed his grace and mercy to him and kept the call on his life. And if we have been partially obedient, God has not thrown us in a spiritual trash can. But he is saying to us, it's time to get serious about me. It's time to check your priorities and to find out, am I really first in your life? And if I'm not, you need to change it. I want it all. Every bit of it. And so get away from your country, get away from your kindred, get away from your father's house, because they were pagan, because they were pulling him down to a land that I will show you. We would say spiritually, a new land, the promised land in a physical sense, but the promised land in the spirit of a new life, a life of blessing, a life of richness. And let me say this, whenever God calls us away from one thing, he always gives us greater, does he not? God never calls us away from something and says, you know what? Now you're really gonna have a tough time. God calls us into greater blessing. Now it doesn't always mean financial or material, but spiritually, in the relationship we have in the Lord. So notice he goes on here in verse 2 and says, and again, now we get to what we call in these last couple of verses, the threefold blessing or the threefold promise. Notice what he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great. Now notice his first promise that he says here to Abram, that is, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. Look at the nation of Israel, the greatest nation in the history of the world. Now, if you're thinking greatness in the sense of size, or power, they've not always been there. And size-wise, they've never been there. But greatness in the sense that God has had his hand on that nation throughout time. He has supernaturally preserved them. He has supernaturally protected them. And through them came the only means mankind can be saved, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so now we see that, yes, the greatest nation in the history of the world, the Israeli nation. And God says, I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you. We see that God has done it. And notice next he says, and I will make your name great. Did you know that Abraham is one of the most known names in the world? Abraham is not only, you know, exalted, so to speak, or honored among the Christian faith, but among the Jewish faith and even the Arabs. They look to him as, again, Ishmael coming down as a son through Hagar. Again, not the promised son, not the one that received the blessing, but nonetheless, a link back to Abraham. And so Abraham is seen as one that is great among the whole world. God said, I will make your name great. And here we are talking about him today. His name is great in all the earth. He's one of the great names of all time. And he says, and you shall be a blessing. Now, again, Abraham was a huge blessing in many ways to those around him and to those in his life and those outside of his life. But note this, the same promises God makes to Abraham, in a sense, he makes to us. Now, he won't make us a great nation, and he won't make our name great, but you will have a good name. That you are a person who does what's right, a person who does righteousness, and you will also be a blessing to those around you. When you give your life to the Lord, you are a blessing. God can funnel his spirit through you now to be a blessing to the people around you. So the same promise and blessings God gave to Abraham, God gives us those promises as well today in many of the same ways. And so we see, that, again, God keeping true to his word and telling Abraham what's going to happen. We now look back in hindsight and we see that it has. And notice lastly in verse 3, and this is the last blessing he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And really, there's another blessing at the very end there where he says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's really kind of encapsulated in the others. But notice there, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. How's that? Jesus Christ. Because through Abraham's line came the Messiah, and because of that, the peoples of the world are blessed. Now, let me say this. There's an immediate blessing on us as believers, being in the family of God. We have the greatest blessing. But note this, because of Jesus Christ, nations around the world are blessed. That is, those nations that have allowed Jesus Christ to some degree to enter. You know, America was founded on the Bible. We know that historically. Our forefathers believed in Jesus Christ. They preached Jesus Christ. They went so far as to say, unless you keep Jesus Christ in American government, America's going to go down. And so we see the foundation of America and we see the way that America was designed, but there are a lot of people in America today that don't know Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are they reaping the blessings of American culture and society? Yes. The wealth, the finances, the blessing, the beauty. I mean, they are a part of it. Although they're not his children, they get to partake of the blessings. And the Bible says that God blesses the wicked and the good. And the reason they get to partake of it is because we as a nation have made him our foundation. But the problem is that as we as a nation turn away from that foundation, we're seeing those things begin to change. And a lot of the blessings we used to take advantage of in America are slowly slipping away. And God says, you know, I'm going to bless though through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth. And that is because the Messiah is going to come through. It will be the way to salvation. But notice as we finish here, the first part of verse 3. This is huge, guys. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Note that. Again, in context, he's speaking of the nation that would come from Abraham, Abraham's descendants. We could say today, the nation of Israel. God is saying, those who bless the nation of Israel, I will bless, and those who curse the nation of Israel, I will curse. Has that not been proven throughout history? Think of the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Assyrians, all these people that came against the Jews. They've either been completely wiped out or they've become completely insignificant. Think about Egypt. In Moses' day, Egypt was the greatest nation on the planet. And then right after they rejected the Jews and Pharaoh refused to let them go and God sent all the plagues, what happened? Egypt disappeared into obscurity. Yes, they're a nation. Yes, they're there, but they went from a world power down to just existing. Think about Germany, a world power. Germany almost took the entire world over. And note this, had not it been for the wisdom that God gave to a Jewish man who created the weapon that ended the war, they would have taken over the world. And so the bottom line is God intervened and stopped that from happening, but they turned against the Jews in the Holocaust and sacrificed Jews wholesale. What happened? They're a nation. They're there, but they're no longer a powerful nation in the world. And this is where we have to be careful as Americans, and we need to be praying for our country. I don't say that glibly. I mean, I know we hear that. Pray for America. But listen, we need to be thanking God for the nation he's given us. And then we need to be asking God to send a spirit of repentance among the church and a spirit of salvation among the lost in America, or we're going to lose this nation the same way other nations have been lost. And, you know, people get prideful. They think we're great because of our economy and our Declaration of Independence and all these things we did. And those were inspired initially by the Lord. But that's not what made us great. It was trusting in God. It was looking to God as a nation. That's what made America great. And I'll tell you something else that made America great. We have stood with the nation of Israel. God says, I will bless those who bless Israel. And so therefore, we as Americans are blessed because we have stood with Israel. Here's my concern. America is slowly turning away from their blessing of Israel. Now in our political policies, and now we're pushing them. We're the ones pushing them to give land up. And we're the ones getting involved now, working for the enemy, getting away what God said, I've given them this land. It's their land. And right now, anyone that's on that land is usurping it if they're not Israelis. It's not the point that God doesn't love those that are there. The point is God has given everyone a portion of land. And this is the land he gave to Abraham and his descendants. And God said, I will protect that. And that's why we see them back in the land today, because God said, I'm going to take you out of the land because of your rebellion to me, but in the last days, I'm going to bring you back in the land. And when I bring you back in the land, nobody's going to remove you again. And every nation that turns against you, I will curse, because I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Look at the Arab and Palestinian peoples around them right now. They're warring against them. They're fighting against them. What is the result? They're economically and socially bankrupt. Their countries are broken in so many ways. Why? Why is there such a huge difference between those societies right around Israel? And you go to Israel, it's like almost being in America. You got the finest of everything. Why is that? It's because the nations around them have said, we're going to fight against Israel. And God said, if you fight against Israel, you're fighting against me. And you can't win in a battle against God. And so the nation of Israel, God says, bless them. I want to say, look, individually, if you guys want to be blessed, bless the nation of Israel. Pray for them. Do something to bless Israel. And I'm not talking about, this is not one of those, oh, let's go get blessed and I want to get money, so I'll do something for God. This is not that kind of thing. I'm not talking about the false teaching that says we need to be seeking God to what we can get and we want some financial whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm speaking in your spiritual sense. Yes, there may be other blessings as well. But God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you in great ways if you'll bless the nation. That's why we are involved in giving to the nation of Israel. We give to the immigrants that come in from Russia. We're helping support them to get started. We're giving to street ministry there and to different work with the homeless there on the streets of Israel. Why are we doing that? Because I want to see Calvary Chapel blessed. And as we give, it accrues to your account. You're going to reap that blessing as well. And I can say that I believe that I see the blessing of God on this fellowship because we bless the nation of Israel. And I believe that's the reason. Now, obviously, it's because of Jesus Christ. But I also believe that part of the reason is because we've honored the Lord in what he said. If you bless the nation of Israel, I will bless you. If you curse the nation of Israel, I will curse you. And God is true to his word. Even networks that talk down about Israel lose ratings. and networks that talk good about Israel go up in ratings. Because God said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Well, where does that leave us today? As we finish up, guys, listen, I want to say this. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you hear his call on your heart today. You need to respond. God gave Abraham a call. Abraham postponed the call, but he responded to it. God's giving some of you a call right now. What do you do with that call? Listen, here's what you have to do. It's very basic. You've got to confess that you're a sinner. You've got to admit it. And then you've got to ask God to forgive you of your sins and repent of your sins. That means turn from them, stop doing them. And then you've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place, and by receiving his blood for you, you will now be saved and forgiven and live eternally with God. That's the gospel. But you've got to make the decision, and you've got to follow through in action. And you know what? God's going to take it farther. He's going to say, you got to give me everything. You got to put me before your family. You got to put me before your friends. You got to put me before what you want. I want it all. But if you do it, I will bless you abundantly in all areas. And so God is faithful to do that. And so that's if we haven't done that. But I want to say that indeed, if we are believers and we are not walking in obedience, we're missing the blessing of Abraham right now. God desires to pour out greater blessings in our life in many ways, in many areas. But the way we receive those blessings is to walk in obedience, not partial obedience, not disobedience, obedience to the Lord. You know, there's an old hymn that says, stay under the spout where the glory comes out. And the idea behind that is that God wants to bless our lives, but if we don't stay in a place where God can bless our lives, we're going to miss out in what God has for us. How do we get out from under the spout? How do we, you know, spout off, so to speak? How do we get off direction? The bottom line is, guys, we have to turn from our sin. We have to repent and stay in a place where God can bless us. And God will do it. My encouragement to us today is to search our hearts and to make sure, first of all, that we've made that commitment to the Lord. But number two, to make sure that we are not missing the blessings of God because we've walked out from under the place where God can bless us because we're not fully committed or we're dabbling in areas we know we shouldn't be dabbling. Let's get it right with the Lord today and let's ask him to do it now. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer today. Our desire, Lord, is to be under the spout where the glory comes out. Lord, it's not just seeking a blessing to be a part of the Bless Me Club. It's just a natural result of those who will fully commit to you and walk in obedience. Our desire is to please you. Our desire is to walk in obedience. The result is the blessing on our life that comes from doing that. Even as Abraham received that blessing, we too, Lord, will be blessed if we will simply be obedient and follow your will and follow your command, where your blessings can be poured out in our lives. God, bring us to a place of brokenness and repentance if we've been dabbling in sin. Lord, bring us to a place where we'll be restored. And Lord, for those that don't know you, but they hear the call right now in their heart, Lord, I pray that right now they would just confess their sin, repent of it, ask you to forgive them of their sin, and they would receive you as their Lord and as their Savior, that they might know the God that we know, Lord, and that they might walk in the blessings that Abraham enjoyed and that we enjoy today. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, and we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.